I wasn't lying about that. I am paying a higher rate than my secretary. Granted, I don't have a secretary, but I'm still paying a higher rate. You're not my secretary. Ann says, she kind of points to herself. No, you're the executive producer of the program. You're the boss over me and people like Ed Kelly. You know that. All right, and people like Stephen Dinan, who joins me now. Hi, Stephen.
I keep calling her Secretary Ann. You're saying that's not appropriate?
Yes, that's not appropriate.
All right.
All right. You were in the Supreme Court today, and I never heard you cough once, so you must be doing okay, physically. And you got to hear all kinds of things. Tell me all about it. I got the impression that the court looked at the Obama lawyer ruefully.
Yeah, it was definitely eye-opening. Some of the justices seemed to be trying to coach and essentially plead with him to come up with a defense on some of this. And at the end of it, Justice Sotomayor was essentially saying, "Look, what you're selling, we're not buying up here." Now, we should be very careful. There are a number of different parts to the law, and the part that the justices were most skeptical of across the ideological spectrum was the Obama administration's argument that the part that most folks know about the Arizona law is the provision that requires police, when they detain somebody or stop somebody in their regular duties, it requires them to perform an immigration status check if they have reason to believe that person is not here legally.
Right.
The Obama administration contends that that is a violation, and it contends that all of the law is a violation of federal immigration priorities, and that only the federal government can set these priorities and set policy. The justices said, well, you already allow for police voluntarily to call. In fact, it's in federal law that police are allowed to voluntarily call and when they detain somebody and ask for immigration status. The only change that's happening here is Arizona is saying it's no longer voluntary. We want it to be mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration went through all these long sort of, hoops to try and make the argument that while there's a difference between the state saying you have to do it and all of the officers doing it on their own, and the justices just sort of mocked that, actually. So that part, it looks like the justices were definitely leaning towards saying that's okay, with one caveat, that several of the justices seemed to be concerned about how long, whether those checks would extend the period of time that somebody was detained by police. And so we'll see where that caveat ends up. But that part, they were definitely skeptical of the Obama administration argument. There was another part that they were more inclined, at least some of them were more inclined to accept from the Obama administration. One of the other things the law does is that it creates a state penalty, a state criminal offense. If you're an illegal immigrant trying to seek a job in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
it creates a penalty against that. The federal law only goes after employers. It doesn't go after illegal immigrants who try and gain work, who apply for jobs. And so several of the justices, including Justice Roberts, said, look, that clearly goes beyond federal law. That's where you might get into a conflict. So I think we talked about this before. The key question is Arizona helping and acting in concert with federal officials, or are they conflicting? And if they're going beyond what Congress did, that would be an instance where they would possibly be conflicting.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much Elena Kagan will be missed in this particular case, knowing that she had to recuse herself.
No, it's an interesting question, especially given that there are so many different parts to the law and different parts that can be upheld and struck down. We might find a situation where you would have, the five Republican-appointed justices all, and maybe some of the Democratic-appointed justices on that first part we were talking about, all sort of unified or a fairly large decision on that. But some of the other ones, you know, given that Justice Alito, Justice Roberts, and Justice Kennedy were asking some pretty tough questions about things like what we just talked about with the state penalty for hiring illegal or for illegal immigrants seeking jobs, there is a situation where you could get a 4-4 decision, and a 4-4 decision means that in a tie like that, it means that the appeals court's decision becomes essentially the controlling opinion in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are there more arguments, or was this it today?
No, this was it. In fact, I believe it was the last session the court hears, and now they're just essentially releasing opinions and writing opinions for the rest of the year.
Okay. Jan Brewer, she showed up, I understand?
She was in the courtroom. So was a couple of members of Congress who follow this issue. So were some of the sheriffs from down there in Arizona who are going to be charged with enforcing this law. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a who's who of the folks who are involved in the immigration movement on both sides.
Yeah, protesters?
Yeah, outside there was you had exactly that. You had both some supporters playing country songs about Arizona and waving Arizona flags and one or two "Don't Tread on Me" flags, and then definitely outnumbered by opponents of the law who were chanting slogans and getting into impromptu debates with supporters. So it was definitely quite a scene outside. And I should note that the line for people trying to get in actually snaked all the way around the Supreme Court. I went over more than an hour before the arguments were held, and the line was already around the corner.
Wow. Yesterday we spoke of Chuck Schumer and his whole idea about making sure the Fed controlled the immigration issue and not the states. Any more on that today?
No, other than if the court really does go, at least in that one area where it seems the court's going to go, he may very well have to introduce that legislation. Yeah, as of yesterday, he said he was confident that the court would uphold or would overturn Arizona's law, but if it didn't, he would introduce his legislation. He might be feeling a little less confident today, given the direction of those questions.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting. The fact that that he's talking about overturning not just a potential court decision later this year, but also going back and undoing the one from a couple years ago, I guess actually from last year, on E-Verify, Arizona becoming the first state to require all businesses to use E-Verify. That's a really big step there, in particular because Congress was very explicit when it wrote, in 1996, it wrote an immigration law on employers and whatnot, and it specifically said, states, you're allowed to do licensing law. So Schumer would be going back and not just undoing what the court said, but also undoing what Congress itself said about 12 years ago.
Yeah, and I could see where he would try to gain full control of everything related to immigration, and then I'd have some real questions, like what happens to states that allow illegals to drive cars? What happens with in-state tuition? What happens with sanctuary cities? I mean, you can go right down a list. So I don't know how far they really want to take this.
No, and all those are exactly the exact right questions to ask, and that's why I imagine he might try and limit it just to enforcement priorities, but then, that might still catch sanctuary city policies, as you said. I was actually surprised that none of the justices raised those questions with the Solicitor General today, asking him to sort of square how the government views those states that are actively avoiding doing immigration checks and why they haven't necessarily thought that those run afoul of federal immigration policy, why they've only gone after one side here.
Yeah. All right. I'll turn your attention to another story you had. The Senate passed the postal bill with a GSA-related attachment. Explain that.
So your listeners are, I'm sure, familiar with the GSA scandal out in Las Vegas.
Sure.
More than $800,000 spent on this conference. The Senate took action yesterday, adopting an amendment that would pretty weak amendment to me, but adopted an amendment that would limit conference spending to only $500,000 per conference.
Oh.
And the House, actually, I believe I just saw the House took that same step on a different bill that came through the House. So both chambers have now passed something that would limit conference spending to a maximum of $500,000. They'll get together somehow and pass some final limitation there, I'm sure. But, I'll let your listeners decide whether they think $500,000 is still an acceptable level or not.
Yeah, really. All right. Now, this related to or was hooked to the postal bill, which is all about this downsizing of the postal service. And now I understand that they're not going to close, or the thought is they won't have to close rural post offices like they originally thought?
Not as many. So
okay.
The post office had proposed a very broad swath of closings and actually had proposed eliminating Saturday service and a number of other things that they said were money losers for them. The Senate came along and said, well, we have a lot of interest here in making sure that you don't harm rural areas too much. We're the economics of these post offices are sometimes really bad, and a lot of the senators are committed to 6-day service as well, and so they're passing limitations. So there will still be closings,
mm-hmm.
but the closings will have to go through extra review boards and have to meet extra standards that the Senate is writing in there. And they're actually, as we speak right now, they are literally voting on final passage of that bill. So.
Huh.
You know, one thing that they did do earlier today, I should mention, is that Rand Paul put up an amendment that if they're going to close everybody else's or close these other post offices, or I guess I should say allow these other post offices to be closed, he said that Congress should close some of its own post offices. There are 7 post offices across the Capitol complex, and he thought that they could limit that to 1 in the House and 1 in the Senate. And that passed by a voice vote after everybody realized it might be inconsistent for them to allow everybody else's post offices to close and still keep all of their own open.
Yeah. And Paul also wanted to end the monopoly by the post office regarding use of a mailbox, right?
He did. That amendment failed, and essentially it's an interesting thing. So if you're, as he said, if you're a 5-year-old girl and you want to go to the neighbors next door and give them a birthday invitation and you stick it in their mailbox, you've just become liable for a $5,000 fine.
Oh, I know.
Because that the post only the Postal Service is supposed to be allowed to deliver mail into that slot, and that's essentially to prevent businesses from basically stealing delivery in certain areas, from starting up and doing
right.
their own delivery and undercutting the post office. And that's why the senators who voted against that and defeated that said the post office essentially needs to have that monopoly in order to have an economy of scale in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Thank you for all your help today. I hope you feel better, and I appreciate you taking the time to go to the Supreme Court today so I wouldn't have to.
It's always my pleasure.
See you later, Stephen. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. 4:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.